Saint Maximilian Kolbe is one of the church's most beloved saints, especially by the Polish people. A modern-day saint, he is known today by many. I'm sure it's a name that is familiar with all of us here. And all of the saints primarily are examples to us of how to live our lives, how to constantly convert our hearts towards Jesus. They're not examples of perfection, because we're never going to be perfect, but they're models of how to live out holiness in a courageous and trustworthy way with Jesus. They witness to us the great faith and the promises of Jesus. And I dare to say that even among the saints, Saint Maximilian Kolbe stands out among the rest. For those of you who may not know some of his story, he was a brilliant scholar who earned his first PhD when he was 21 years old. And I don't know what you were doing at 21, but I was far from earning anything, let alone a PhD. We can appreciate that the hard work and the sacrifice that we have taken for such a degree. During his seminary years, he studied science as a hobby and was even designing space travel mechanisms before World War II. As a young priest, he began an apostolate called the Knights of the Immaculata, which was a group dedicated to spreading the gospel through mass media. As that technology advanced, he was one of the forerunners in using that technology to spread the faith. But when the Nazis took over Poland at the start of World War II, he began publications strongly denouncing the Nazi regime. Of course, the Nazis didn't take too kindly to that. And so Kolbe was eventually arrested, threatened, but they released him. That threat didn't work on St. Kolbe. He continued the publications and promoting the faith and denouncing the horrors of the Nazi regime. And so he was arrested again. And this time, he was sent to Auschwitz. To be able to help his fellow prisoners, he publicly acknowledged that he indeed was a Catholic priest. And this only led to special treatment by the guards, which included various attacks and the worst of jobs. He would secretly celebrate the sacraments for the people, and he never deterred from his ministry. He never swayed from his identity as a priesthood, as a priest in the priesthood, and he never once looked at himself. He constantly looked to the other, what the others needed, despite his own horrible conditions. He was a man who had supreme confidence and supreme courage. He would tell the people around him, "No, they will not kill our souls. They will not be able to deprive us of the dignity of being a Catholic. We will not give up. And when we die, then we die pure and peaceful, resigned in God with our hearts." Eventually, St. Maximilian Kolbe, as was lined up with a number of people to be led off for execution, and someone in line was a young man who was married and had children at home and was pleading with the guards that his life be spared. St. Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and demanded that he take this young man's place in the execution. And so it was Maximilian Kolbe who was sent to be killed, and he was. The man that was spared by St. Maximilian Kolbe, by God's grace, survived life in the concentration camp and lived to see his old age. And throughout his life told the story of the good Polish priest who gave his life for him and his family. That's courage. And while there's many words to describe St. Maximilian Kolbe, that would be the one I would pick above all the rest, is he was courageous. And it was a courage that was rooted in the hope of the resurrection. Remember what he said, "They will not kill our souls, we will die pure and peaceful." The only way to have that kind of courage, where you can stand in the face of death, where you can sacrifice your own life for a stranger next to you, is when you know what comes next. When you know in the heart of your hearts that Jesus rose from the dead, that he conquered death, and that the resurrection is real, it is then that you can stand in the place of another It is then that you can look at death in the face and know that, death, you don't have any power over me, because there's something more in the future. Colby's courage came from hope in the resurrection. The Sadducees that we hear about in today's gospel were a group of Jewish religious leaders. And that sect, if you will, what kind of defined them as Sadducees, was the very fact that they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's what they were known for. And so they come to challenge Jesus on this belief in another attempt to trap him in his teachings. And of course, Jesus defends the resurrection. And he does so for two reasons. First of all, obviously it's true. Jesus was going to rise from the dead. Of course he's going to defend the resurrection. It was a truth that he tried to spread to all people. And he defended the fact that there is life after death, that heaven is real, and so is hell. And how fitting it is to have this gospel right in the middle of the month of November, a month where the Church Universal remembers those who have died. And so as we recall all our friends and loved ones who have died, we then recall the hope of our resurrection. Their memory renews our hope and our trust in that promise of the resurrection. Because think about it. If the resurrection isn't true, and I doubt that anybody here thinks it isn't, but if the resurrection isn't true, why would we be here? What's the point of anything? The entirety of our Christian faith hinges on this truth, because the contrary would be that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, and the Christian faith would be reduced to a mere pipe dream. No truth at all. And Jesus has even more to say about this. We know that we live in a fallen world with people who would love nothing more than for once and for all to debunk the Christian faith, to say, see, it didn't happen. It's all a bunch of lies. Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all those sorts of things. Those people exist, unfortunately. Not, let me rephrase that. It's not unfortunate they exist, it's unfortunate they think that way. It's unfortunate that ideology exists in our world. But we know that true happiness, everlasting life, is contrary to the world and to our own sin. And so accepting the promise of the resurrection calls us to live our lives in a countercultural way, not just for the hour that we sit here in the church, but all week. Every part of every day should be different because of what happens here. Should be different because we know heaven is waiting for us because of the resurrection. But this is the hard part of being a disciple, because again, we're bombarded with so many messages that are contrary to this central truth. And especially for our young people, they hear messages so often that are trying to break down their relationship with God. It's kind of what the seven brothers in our first reading were finding out. We're told that to focus on ourselves brings about true happiness, and to put God on the side. And some people in our lives may even mock us for our faith. And of course, we know all too well that persecutions against Christians in the world are still all too prevalent. And so what's our response then to all of this? And I think that's where St. Maximilian Kolbe comes in. And that's why I wanted to tell you his story to begin. Because he was a man who endured intense persecution along with many others. He trusted and drew courage then from the resurrection. And really, that's our best weapon. And that's our best response. One word, resurrection. And I think that we could call this weekend Courage Weekend, because that's the theme of our readings. Throughout our first, second reading, when we call upon God in the psalm, and of course in our gospel, it's a theme of courage. But remember, courage doesn't come from ourselves primarily. It doesn't come from our own willpower to just fight through. It comes from our surrender to God. It seems contrary that we could be courageous in surrender. But when it comes to God, that's actually the truth. It's the surrender of knowing that there's something more beyond this present life. It's a surrender to the fact that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead so that no pain or suffering would ever win the day. Courage is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so maybe this week, we can bring that to our prayer. Each day this week, if we could wake up, say, "Come, Holy Spirit," and ask him for that gift of courage, or pray for an increase in the gift of courage, just see how different this week could be for us. Not only individually would it change each day of our lives, but then collectively as a community, if we pray for that gift, what difference could we make in our world? What kind of hope could we spread that we weren't spreading before? How much more would our confidence grow in Jesus' promise? But let that infuse your day when you're at work, when you're with your family, when you're with your friends, when you're here. Nowadays, we need courage more than ever because it is a battlefield. Our own backyard, all too often, can be battlefields to defend the faith, with people like the Sadducees trying to say that there is no hope and that there is no resurrection. But through the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe, together as a family of faith, let's pray that the Holy Spirit infuses the entire church with increased courage to preach the risen Christ and the promise of the resurrection.